Father, we are humbled to be here in your presence, Lord. Father, our hearts have been softened and stilled before you through worship. We've sung of our deliverer. We've sung of your amazing grace. Pastor Tom shared just a beautiful picture of how we're covered in your blood, Lord. Jesus, it is all about you. Church, it is all about Jesus. Remind us of that this morning. Remind us of that. And for those who might be here this morning who they don't know you yet, God, would you somehow use the next 40 minutes or so to draw them unto you, God. Those that might watch online or via the app or whatever, God, may they just know that it is all about you, Jesus. We thank you and praise you for what you're doing, and we commit our time together into your hands. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Great to see you all again. Little tired, flew in last night, our flight was delayed, got in at about 10:30, SeaTac, drove all the way up here to Bellingham last night. We just had a missions team that was down in Mexico, so I brought them back and then flew up here, and I can't imagine a better church to be at my first stop. I haven't been back into Seattle for 7 months. And to be here with you all. I love this church. I really love this church. I love Pastor Tom, and believe me, for the hour and a half drive last night, I thought of a story that I could tell about him. And I got nothing. I'm so sorry. Forgive me. So much has gone on, I thought, surely I have to have something that he did or said when he was down in Mexico. Maybe it was the Lord saying, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't embarrass him. I just want to start by thanking you all. Some of you I know, some of you I don't know. I just want to thank you and your church on behalf of my family, the ministry down in Mexico, the kids. I thank you all for your support. Some of you might not even know how you support. Allowing me to be here this morning is supporting us, praying for us, having a VBS that raised close to $600 to provide meals for the kids down there, sending your pastor and missions teams down there, allowing your worship leader and his family to come down. You guys are one of the biggest supporting churches that we have. And I thank you for that. I thank you for that. There's a verse in Acts chapter 21. Let me read it to you. The apostle Paul, he has come. God is just doing incredible things through his ministry. And he comes to Jerusalem in Acts chapter 21. And he's getting ready to visit James. And we read in verse 17, if you're there, Acts chapter 21, verse 17, it says, when Paul had come to Jerusalem, the brothers received us gladly. And on the following day, Paul went in with us to James and all the elders who were present. And then after greeting them, he related one by one the things that God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. Paul, we know, wanted so badly to come to Jerusalem. He finally makes it there, and he has this meeting with James and the elders, and he begins to share with them one by one all of the things that God was doing among the Gentiles and among his ministry. And in verse 20, it says, and when they heard it, they glorified whom? Say it out loud, church.
The Lord.
The Lord. They didn't glorify Paul, they didn't glorify James, they didn't glorify the elders, they didn't glorify the church. They glorified whom?
The Lord.
The Lord. It is all about the Lord. Amen? Can I get an amen?
Amen?
It is all about the Lord. We must never, ever, ever lose sight of that. No matter how God wants to use you, no matter where God takes you, no matter what God does in your life, no matter what opportunities he gives you, it is all about him and it is all for his glory. And so my prayer has been, Lord, if I can come up to Bellingham and I can share one by one some of the things that you're doing, and if people leave here glorifying you more, then I've accomplished my mission. But if I come here and I share some stories and you all leave here saying, man, what an awesome guy that he is, and so glad, and all these things, and then it becomes about me or the ministry, then we've missed something. Because it would be so easy for us to take a little bit of the glory and credit of things God is doing. Amen? Do you know what I'm talking about? Be mindful of that. Be careful of that. Because the enemy, who is so crafty, he knows how to get in. He's our biggest fan. You understand that? That may sound strange. He's your biggest fan. He wants you to think that you are better than God. Or somehow that the opportunity that God is giving you, or what he's allowing you to do or whatnot, that somehow it's because you're a good person or that it's something that you've done. And I'm here to just remind you and me that is not the case. It is simply and merely because of God's grace and his mercy and his love for us. Can you believe he chooses to use us? Amen? You understand that? Listen to this. Listen to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:27. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of the Lord. That's powerful. So if you feel weak in here, if you feel inadequate, if you feel that you don't have the skills, then praise the Lord. You are a perfect candidate to be used by God. Amen? Amen? Look at Paul. Who in the world would use a guy that was persecuting Christians? And in a moment like that, when with an experience with the Lord, his life is forever changed. And now his desire is to glorify the Lord. I'm in sort of a strange place in my life. I'm 34. I'm getting old. Kind of. And God has given me a lot of opportunities over my life to do some pretty exciting things. Being a part of music, traveling, recording, playing with well-known Christian artists, preaching and teaching and leading worship. God has just given me some blessed opportunities. And the Lord has always dealt with pride in my life and taught me about humility. But I'm in a new place. And I guess part of it is because I'm a director of an orphanage. And I got to tell you, when people ask what I do, especially non-believers, and you share that, they think you're a really good person. And they'll start telling you that. I have met countless and countless people at random Starbucks and on airplanes and at workers at the hotel that we stay at when we bring teams, all kinds of people. The dude I was talking to on AT&T, I was on the phone with AT&T about our phone bill, talking to him. And when people ask what you do and you share, they start complimenting you. And then, you know, when you share things, of course, with believers and Christians and they're excited about what is going on and what the Lord is doing, I'm in this new place where if there's probably ever a time where I could take some credit for myself, it would be now. Does that make sense? And that's kind of a scary place to be in. Because I know my weaknesses and I know my failures and I know that as you read in the scriptures of all these mighty men who have fallen. These mighty men who who pride consumes them. Do you remember the story of King Uzziah? Remember, he was a king, and he became king at the age of 16, and he started doing mighty things for the Lord. And God was doing tremendous things for through and in him. And it says in 2 Chronicles 26, 15 through 16, that his fame spread far, for he was marvelously helped. Word got out, and everybody thought, you got to meet this guy. This guy is doing some incredible things. And so he was marvelously helped until he was strong. But when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction, for he was unfaithful to the Lord his God. Saints, I think pride is one of the biggest tools that we don't think about that the enemy uses. Amen? Because when we think, I don't need the Lord, I don't have to do my devotions today, that's pride. You understand that? Because we think that we can get through our day without seeking the Creator of the heavens and the earth to give us direction. In our marriages, as we raise our kids, in every aspect, if we try to do things or think we can do things in and of ourselves, that is pride, and we need to humble ourselves and repent and cry out to God, Lord, I need thee. I need thee. Every hour, I need thee. And here's kind of the crazy thing. Saints, God wants to do amazing things in your life. He wants to use us. It's all over the scriptures. It's all over the scriptures of how he wants to use us and what he wants to do. Turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. We're going to look at verse 17 through 20. While you're turning there, I'll just explain a little bit of what's going on. Jesus, as he continues to be prepared for the end of his ministry and his life, and as he's just pouring into the apostles and the disciples and training them up to go out, we see here in chapter 10 that the Lord, he appoints 72 disciples to go out two by two, to begin going out and to preach the gospel, to minister to people. And Jesus says in verse 2 of Luke chapter 10, and he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. And so Jesus begins to explain to them, this is what you can take, this is what you can't take, this is what you should do when you come into a city, this is what you do if they receive you, if they reject you, all of these things, and then boom, he sends them out. And then we see the return of them in verse 17. And this is what I want to point out this morning. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. Let's look at that. The 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Now, we've talked about pride. We've talked about how we all sort of deal with it. Now, do you think that some of these guys were a little prideful or excited about what they just experienced? How many of you think that would be the case? Look at the wording. Lord, they came back with joy. Lord, even the demons are subject to us. Lord, we were walking, we were healing something, and all of a sudden, bam, and like a demon fell, or I don't know what it would have looked like, but something went down, and they realized, man, we got something extra going on here. Because if you read all of chapter 10, the Lord never gave them authority to cast out demons. And so something extra was going on. God was doing that exceedingly abundant work above all that we ask or think, right? He was doing something extra. And so they came back on fire. Man, did you see what I did to that dude over there? Woo! And so Jesus, knowing that, look what he says. In verse 18, Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Now imagine what's going through these guys' minds. Now Jesus says, I have given you authority. You're going to tread on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Do you think they lifted their shoulders a little bit more? Yeah. When's our next mission? I'm ready. As they're trying to understand that which God had instilled upon them, but then Jesus chops them back down. And I love that about the Lord. He will say one thing, and then he will bring it in with the main point. This and this and this, but boom. And that's always kind of the one that hits you in the stomach, right? And you're like, oh, why couldn't you have just left that part out, Lord? I would have been more happy with just knowing that we have the power of the enemy and nothing shall hurt you. But look at what Jesus says in verse 20. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that your spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Amen. Jesus said, listen, you guys are going to be used. And you're going to be used in a powerful way, even more so than what you experienced. But here's the main point. Never forget what the whole purpose and reason is. Never forget to rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Don't get caught up, Jesus is saying, don't get caught up in all the things that you're doing for me, but get caught up in what I'm doing for you. And I came to a point in the ministry down in Mexico where just lots of opportunities and traveling and sharing and meeting with government officials and state officials and people now coming and touring the orphanage and Mennonites and Mexicans and Americans and people from Canada who are saying we have churches in Canada that want to get involved. And all this is sort of growing and taking place. And the Lord needed to hit me with one of those things to remind me of what it's all about. And that came in the form of washing feet. Literally washing feet. Now, I hate feet. I think they're gross. Can I get an amen? Okay. I don't mind my feet. My daughter's feet are cute. My wife's feet, okay, a little bit. I don't want to see Pastor Tom's feet. I'm cool with just, you know, socks and shoes. And I've been that way ever since I was a little kid. I don't know. Maybe, you know, my dad, he's kind of weird. He has this thing where he loves putting baby's feet in his mouth. If any of you parents in here like doing that, Pastor Tom and JJ, they'll be up here to pray for you after the service. Maybe I was scarred as a little boy from that. But especially baby's feet, they just wig me out. And I would, I'm just kind of getting over this. And now that I have a daughter and... But they're just weird and kind of veiny and they just look awkward. And so I avoid that. Why do I share that with you? Well, as kids have been coming into the orphanage, we've had a lot of kids that have been coming from mountain areas, Tatahumara Indians. And they're dirty and they're smelly and their feet are gross. They don't have shoes up there. They wear sandals. If they have sandals, otherwise it's bare feet. So probably a lot like how feet were back in Jesus' day. Probably a lot like how the disciples, the apostles' feet were when Jesus washed them. And so there was, I think we had three of the kids, the three boys in there, Erasmo, Jorge, and Luis. And Erasmo comes from the mountains of Coralivo. And... I just assumed when we told them it was shower time that, and we put them in there, that they would wash and use soap and that things would go okay. My assumption was wrong. And every time I'd go into the room to pray over them, I thought, why do their feet smell so bad? And I was telling Jackie, and she said, babe, are they using soap? And I thought, here's a kid that comes from a town with no running water, no electricity, no bathrooms. He probably has never seen soap. He probably doesn't know how to use soap. And so as I talked that over with Jackie, and it came shower time, and then I thought, okay, I got to find one of my workers who I've hired to go in and wash feet. Hear me out. This literally took place because I'm a director. I direct. I direct. I hire. I can fire people. I go and speak at churches. I do this. I have my office. And then I hire staff to do all these daily things. And oh, the Lord, he got me good. Because nobody was around. And check this out, saints. I kid you not. The Lord said to me, Jason, you need to go in there and wash his feet. And I wrestled with it a little bit. And then I went and I got a thing of water and put a lot of soap and bleach and everything I could possibly find in it. And I went and I explained to him, and as I'm learning Spanish more and more, I explained to him what I was going to do, and he was weirded out by it. And I sat him down in a chair, and I put the thing down, and I put his feet in there, and I began washing his feet. And he resisted me and thought it was strange, and I no longer thought it was strange, because in that moment, God was ministering to my heart. He was using dirty feet to remind me that it's about Jesus. He was using dirty feet to say, Jason, I don't care if you're a director. I don't care who you meet with. What I care about is what you're doing and learning in this moment. And he was laughing because it tickled his feet and splashing me with water. And so it was one of those life-changing moments. I wouldn't say that at that point I was like super excited to keep washing feet. Nor was I excited about clipping toenails. Now, aside from feet washing, clipping toenails, probably right up there. And Jackie said, babe, you got to cut their toenails. And I said, babe, have you seen the toenails? The toenails. And again, the Lord just saying, you better get in there. So I grabbed the biggest pair of toenail clippers we had, and I went in there, and I sat on their bed. And now every Saturday night, when I'm there, I clip the boys' toenails. And as weird as this may seem, I enjoy it. I enjoy it. I enjoy it because that is that moment, that sacred moment with those kids and with my Lord, that he reminds me that it's about him. You see, saints, think for a moment of how dirty you once were. Think of how dirty you are now. Maybe some of you are struggling in sins, or you got in a fight with your spouse on the way over here. You yelled at your kids or whatever it may be. And does that change for one moment who our God is? Does he ever look at us and say, oh, you smell too bad? No. He says, you come here. Let me wash you. Let me cleanse you. Let me purify you. I need that in my life. I need that. I need to wash feet. I need to clip those boys' toenails. And I need to continue to be reminded of how easily it could be for the Lord, for the enemy to come in and to undermine what God is doing and to get me to a point where I don't have to do that anymore because I've reached certain status. Pray for your pastor. I love your pastor. He's a humble man. Pray he stays humble. Pray that he doesn't get to a point where he stops meeting with some of you and he starts making JJ do all the work and all the meetings. And pretty soon he's unavailable. I know your pastor is available to you. You have a good pastor. Amen? You have a good pastor, and God is using him, because remember what it says in Acts? Paul related one by one the things that God was doing through his ministry. It was through Paul's ministry. This is taking place because of the calling and the obedience that God has put on Pastor Tom's heart and that he has followed. But it's all to glorify the Lord. Amen? It is all to glorify the Lord. A couple more verses. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, and the haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 29:23. A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. And Proverbs 18:12. Before his destruction, a man's heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor. I want to encourage you guys to, what is your foot washing? What is your stinky feet? What is that one thing that you do everything you can to avoid? And then I want you to pray on that and see if that might be the very thing God is wanting you to do. Does that make sense? Because oftentimes it takes that final breaking point to draw you closer to the Lord than you've ever been before. I am falling in love with these kids down there. It is amazing. I didn't get to say bye to the boys because they went to VBS, and I was bummed and I was sad. One of our boys in there, Luis, he's 11. Tom, what time am I finishing at? 11:10. He has a mindset of probably 8 or 9, been in 6 different orphanages, very abused, sexually, physically, emotionally, probably every abuse possible. He came to our home. After 2 or 3 days, I realized why other orphanages don't want him, and I thought of sending him back. And then the Lord said, you better not send him back. And I said, okay, Lord. And we began praying over him and fighting for him, saying, Luis, you are a special creation of the Most High God, and we're going to see you through this. And he is now talking. He is learning how to write, how to read. He was loving on Pastor Tom and the team when they came down there. And now I talk to him on the phone. When I call, I talk to my wife, I talk to my daughter, and then I talk to Luisito, little Luis. ¿Qué pasó? ¿Dónde estás? And I don't fully understand what he's saying, but we have usually about a 30-second conversation, and I love that. And I love that. I love when I come home from trips, I love pulling up to the orphanage and all the kids running out and giving me big hugs. I love what God is doing. I love that how sometimes we look at things like this and God looks at it like this. Amen? I sort of thought we'll move down there, we'll build an orphanage and we'll feed kids and we'll clothe them and then that'll be it. And the Lord said, you're looking too small, because greater things are still to come. And he's been opening my eyes. I never would have guessed that Isaac and Tara and their family would be coming down. And your church taking multiple trips. I have a few pictures to show. We had, you know what, buddy? I don't know what order we put them in, so just throw one up, and then I'll explain it. That's our basketball team. This right here is little Luis. Does he not look like a basketball player? I mean, how awesome. Look at how fierce my daughter is right there, holding the basketball. That's Erasmo on the left-hand side. I'm not sure what he's doing. That's Carlos, number 9. He's one of our workers. He's been working with us for 2 years. The 3 in the middle, those are my nephews and my niece. They actually came down and spent a few weeks with us serving, and God changed their life. Pastor Tom talked about eventually maybe a family trip. I'll tell you what, parents, ignore what people say about Mexico and the danger and whatnot, because we serve the God of the universe. Amen? I pray that someday parents will come down with their kids. Your kids need to experience things in Mexico. They need to experience things outside of the American bubble and box so that they can come back and that their lives can be changed, and then they can figure out how they can begin to impact their friends and their schools and their communities here. And so I was so blessed to have them come down. And then this is Irime. She's a gal that we hired for the summer, college gal. And then this is my cousin, Becky. A Christian school in El Paso supports us. And they donate all their uniforms and school supplies. So they gave us a bunch of basketball and volleyball uniforms. So let's see what we got next. This right here, this gal right here, her name is Josefina. Her and her husband go to our fellowship down there. He's one of the elders and worship leaders. Very dear couple. They teach at the Mennonite schools. Mennonites are Germans who have migrated down from, most of them have come from Canada. The main reasons were for freedom of school and freedom of religion. And so they came down. They're very wealthy, very strong as far as just families and communities. There are some Amish Mennonites who are very strict, and then there's others that love the Lord and love being in Mexico. And so we have had just this influx of Mennonites come to the orphanage and want to help. And so Josefina teaches at a Mennonite school, and she called and said, can we bring a field trip to the orphanage? So we had our first field trip, and so all these kids came. And they were so excited. About three or four of them asked if they could stay. So I thought, I guess things are going good if kids want to stay and hang out. And one boy, he said, do you have Facebook? And I said, yeah. And he goes, do you have email? I said, yeah, like you're 8 years old or whatever. And he said, because I'd really like to see how I can stay in touch with the kids and what God is doing here. I think the next picture, we're dissecting beetles and frog. I didn't put the frog one up because it's pretty gross, but last week we had a missions team from El Paso. We had six teachers that came down. And so all week long we did classes on creation and evolution and history and math, and we taught our kids, and then it went over so well that we brought it to the church, and we had about 40 kids and adults that came and just learning things that they didn't know before. If you've never dissected something like professionally, you should do it. It's incredible. Seriously. Don't go out and try to do it on your own. Find someone who's smart or knows what they're doing. And so we had the kids around there, and they brought all their little dissecting kits and stuff. And when we got to the turtle, and I hope I don't gross you all out, but I mean the frog, and cut that thing open, and I kept my distance because it was kind of awkward and smelly. But she started pointing out, you know, the muscles and the heart and all these things. I thought, man, you see God in a frog. Amen? You see God in little beetles. You see God everywhere. So ultimately, truly, it is about the Lord. Amen? And so we just had a blessed time. We're already planning next year's trip with these teachers that we might be able to get into the actual schools and do some classes and maybe some debates within the schools. I think there's a couple more pictures. This is our Father's Day picture. I was so blessed. I came back from some trip or something, and all the kids, they made that sign, and they all made me little presents. And then I gathered them all up, and we just started being goofy and whatnot. And I just thought, man, this is so much more than just a sterile orphanage. This is a home. Casa de Bendición. It's the house of blessing. When teams come in, it's not awkward. The kids start just immediately just loving, and they understand, they're beginning to understand the relationship between the churches and why Jason has to travel and do these sorts of things. And I think there's one more. These are four kids who are actually with us right now. They just came in to our home on Friday night. This is Adriana. She's 12. Pablo, he is 10. Maida, she is 7. And little Gael, he's 2. These kids don't have a dad. The mom at night, she either works or she goes out on the streets and hooks up with guys and drinks. And so these kids take care of themselves. I've known them for probably 2 years because Adriana, the oldest, she's the one that brings all the kids to church faithfully on Wednesdays and Sundays. But she's at that age now where her mom wants her to go out on the streets with her. And so there's been men my age and older that hang out at their house and flirt with her and try to, you know, see what might happen. And so the other night, Pastor Lise and Kim went there and they took the kids into the home and she began rebuking these men. She said, "You get out of here. You don't come back." I was like, "Wow, Tia, Auntie, that's pretty strong of you to do that." We've called the police and we've called the DEEF, which is like a DSHS, and they've done nothing. And so we feel like the Lord is saying, "I want you to do something." And so Kim had begun to talk with them, and the older two said, "We don't want to come to the orphanage. The orphanage is a, there's this perception that it's this sterile, scary place, and that's where they send kids that are messed up." And so we were sitting there after church on Wednesday night, and the older two happened to come in. We do a soup kitchen and feed 80 people or so, and so we're sitting there. They sat down, and I just began to ask them if they would ever want to come and hang out. No pressure whatsoever, just come and see. And they agreed. And the next day they came, and we took them to VBS, and then they came back to the orphanage, and they started seeing that it's a safe place, and immediately started playing with, you know, the toys and the stuff that we have there. And then they asked, you know, "Can we spend the night tonight?" And so right now they're in our care, and I would ask that in about an hour or so, if you could be praying, because Pastor Luis, my wife, Luis's wife Kim, and one of our workers, Nieves, they're going to be meeting with this mom after church in Mexico to see about bringing these kids permanently into the orphanage. And Jackie, I texted her yesterday, amen. I said, "Jackie, can you send me a picture?" And she was trying to send it out all day yesterday, and it wasn't working. And I thought, okay. And then this morning, my phone went off at the hotel, and I looked, and it was this picture. And look at those faces. And I'll tell you what, this kid, he's been kicked out of school. We've almost kicked him out of the church because of fighting, and he's ridiculous. But it is incredible what God has done in just 24 hours in these kids' life. So, and then when I get back, I'll be meeting with the mom as well and the local DEEF to, if we move in this direction, to make everything official. So our family has doubled. There's 8 there now. And on Monday, we have another young boy coming. I don't have a picture of him. His name is Aaron. He's 10. He's from the mountains of Nakayashi. No dad, lives with his drunken, abusive uncle. My friend Aaron, and he is pastoring a church up there. And so he has brought little Aaron down to the orphanage, and immediately he began playing with the kids. And it was going back and forth, you know, does he need to come down? He's been staying with Aaron, big Aaron, and his wife, Yahida. And Aaron called me the other day, and he said, "Jason," he said, "man, I talked to the mom, I talked to the grandma, and they want little Aaron to get out of here. Because this time of the year, especially up in the mountains, is marijuana picking season. And what the cartels do is they go into these towns and they bring baseballs and gloves and cell phones and money, and they come and they recruit these 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old boys to go and pick marijuana with the hopes of promising, you know, women and money and drugs and all these things. And so he came into town, and Aaron and the boys immediately just ran over to this man. And after that moment, Aaron called me and said, "Jason, we got to get him out of here." And I said, "Bring him." So he's coming into our home on Monday. The mom and grandma said, we want him to go. We want him to have a better chance and a better future. We want him to go back to school. So in a period of 4 days, God has brought, Lord willing, if everything goes to plan, another 5 children, raising it to 9 kids now. Greater things are still to come. And saints, if there's ever a time where we need your prayers, and please now, we would love that. Prayer cards and whatnot we have on that back table for you to take and put on your refrigerator, put in your Bible. Come down and visit us. Be praying for the Heist family as they prepare. There's ways that you can help. We have some, for a suggested donation of $8, we have homemade tortilla warmers in the back. It's made with Tatahumara fabric, how they make their beautiful dresses. And so we buy that fabric and then we make those. And so if that is something that you would like to take, please do so. We have prayer cards, these little info cards of if you want to receive blog updates or if you want to support financially or prayerfully or whatnot, you can fill those out and give them to me. Thank you again for allowing me to be here. And saints, let's pray together that God humbles us every day. Amen. Let's look for those opportunities to be used. Let's look for those opportunities where God opens tremendous doors of opportunity so that we might say at the end of the day, man, isn't our God amazing God? Isn't he awesome? And I can't wait for you all to come down to Mexico and meet these kids and play with them and hang out with them. I can't wait to, Lord willing, maybe see some of these kids be available for adoption. In August, I'm flying to Utah to meet with 2 directors of the agency that we adopted our daughter through. They just got licensed in Mexico. And so they called me and said, "Jason, we just got licensed, and we, because it's so corrupt and it's so hard to adopt in Mexico, we heard you started an orphanage, and we want to look for trustworthy orphanages that we could partner with." Because, brothers and sisters, these kids are going to end up needing homes. Now, that might be stateside, that might be Mexico side, that might be reunited with their families. Little Luis, he has no family, none. He is a true orphan. And so I'm praying for that meeting in August, that God will do great things through that. And as we yield to him and submit to him and are humble to him, there's no stopping what he's going to do through us. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you and praise you for what you're doing. Thank you, God, for the blessing of being here. Thank you, Lord, for this church. Thank you, God, for these new kids that you're bringing. Lord, I pray for this meeting today with Adriana and Pablo and Maida and Gael's mother. I pray first and foremost that she would surrender her heart to you, God. I pray that you would use us to be a light and an example into these kids' lives, Lord. I pray for little Aaron as he leaves the mountains tomorrow, Lord, to come down to our home, God. I pray you would protect him. I pray that he would transition in well, God. Lord, I pray for other kids up in those mountain regions. God, I just pray in the power of your name, God, that you would stop this senseless recruiting of children, God. Lord, you are. If you can give the authority to cast out demons, God, you can cast out these men that so desperately need you as well. I pray you would use Aaron and his wife up in the mountains, Lord, and bless their church. Bless the ministry up there, God. And Lord, bless this church here. Thank you for this church. Lord, Bellingham needs you. They need you. They need to know the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They need to know that apart from a personal relationship with you, there is no hope. Strengthen Pastor Tom and the leadership and the team here, God. We thank you for your blessings and your faithfulness and your goodness in our life. We love you and thank you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.